getting so fired up, he ready to do it again. Amen. I tell you, I love it when the anointing of God run the demons out the door. Amen. I tell you, because it seemed like everything was falling apart this morning. I told him, I said, you watch the anointing fall on this place. And I've never seen Miss Marie dance before. To God be the glory. You know she would be moved by the Spirit of God. And that's what we want. We want people to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we don't serve a dead God. Our God is living.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And not only is he living, he's not sad.
That's right.
But he's full of joy.
Amen.
And so, amen, he is. And Jesus is the epitome of God's love and God's joy and God's strength. And he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And so, I got not so good news this morning, but you know what? My wife said, are you worried about it? And actually, I should have been honest and said yes, but the Lord got my heart. And you know what? God is bigger than anything that we face.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And I was determined to allow the Holy Spirit to move in me. And ain't no devil in hell going to stop me from praising my God.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And so, Brother Amelia, some months ago, I was going through some situations with my heart. And you know what? The woman of God sent me a very powerful message all the way from Oklahoma. And here's what she said. She said, no devil in hell will determine the years that God has given you. No matter what happens to this body, no devil can determine when you leave here. That is only by God and God alone. You're not going anywhere until the Lord Jesus Christ says, son, come home, come up here.
That's right.
And when he does, he will send his only angels to escort you here. Do know that the body doesn't belong to Satan, nor does your soul. All of you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so in the name of Jesus, get off of him, devil.
Amen. That's right.
You're loose now by the power of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you how good God is. All this week, the Holy Spirit been dealing with me on an area that's, it has to be nothing but supernatural. And what he showed me about the nations, it blew my mind. And if you look around you right now, there's a new nation in our midst.
Amen.
Sitting right behind you, these young ladies are from China, right? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, loved the nations.
That's right.
He loved the nations. And we're going to see that as we get ready to go in prayer, what the Holy Spirit had prepared me for this morning. And by them walking in is a confirmation that Jesus cares for the nations. And he wants sons and daughters from every nation under the sun. Amen?
Amen.
And then he wants those sons and daughters to go out and invite others to come in to be his sons and daughters.
Yes, he does.
And let me tell you, every one of you, if you track your heritage, you'll find out that you were from other nations too.
That's right.
But the Lord Jesus Christ brought you here. Amen?
Amen.
And therefore, and our problem, I don't like making political statements, but I'll make this one. All lives matter. Amen? All lives matter. Doesn't matter if you're black or white, yellow, pink, it doesn't matter. Big, tall, fat, I don't care, okay? You belong to Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for every nation. And we're going to see from the scriptures today, as we look at the life of the church in Ephesus, boy, what some power of darkness this brother Paul was up against. But you know what's so amazing about Paul? As he stood in the middle of that city, and he looked around, He remembered the words of the prophet named King David. And I can only imagine what he was thinking. And as we go and look back 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, God's holy son, we're going to take a look at what God says to his son Jesus. You're going to actually see a dialogue between the Father and the Son through the heart of King David. David wasn't just a king, everybody. David also was a prophet. Of all the prophets of God, King David probably wrote the most about what Jesus would do when he came here, and certainly about his suffering on the cross. David recorded it word for word that Jesus would say on the cross 1,000 years before he went. And you'll see that in Psalms 22, where Jesus is hanging on the cross and he said, my God, why have thou, whichever translation you're looking at, why have thou forsaken me? Psalms 22 opens up with those words. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Matthew only records a short portion of it. But if you read that entire Psalms, you'll find out that God did not forsake Jesus. Because David gives us the rest of the story there. And it's amazing. David would also tell us in Psalm 16 how he would be treated and how God would not leave him in the grave. That's amazing. He said, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Sheol is the Hebrew word for the grave. But God, he said, neither will you allow your Holy One, in other words, the Messiah, Jesus, to see corruption. What does that mean? That means Jesus' body would not rot. And it didn't. Amen?
Amen.
It didn't. And the writer will also tell us later, he said, and they pierced my hands and they pierced my side. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit showed this man all of this a little over 1,000 years before Lord Jesus came into the world. And so this morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. It's good to hear from you, buddy. That's my buddy, okay? Just in case y'all didn't know it, Mr. Michael is my buddy. But do know this morning, no matter what you're battling in life, whatever you're fighting, God got it. God is greater than anything we face. And if you don't believe me, go back to the cross and see Jesus hanging there. Because he conquered the cross. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. And if you don't believe me, talk to him in heaven and see if he's still in the grave. Amen?
Amen.
He's in heaven, controlling stuff. Every head bowed, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord God, that you have brought the nations together. Lord Jesus, you love the nations. And this morning we declare your glory, Son of the living God. And that God, your Father, has given you lordship over all the nations. And at the very mentioning of your name, every knee shall bow from those nations, and every tongue shall confess. It doesn't matter if the people that come out of the nations are in heaven, as your word says, or here on earth, or in Hades, down in the earth. Lord, every tongue will confess that you, Jesus, the Son of the living God, is Lord over all creation. And by that decree, Lord, God your Father is glorified. And we're asking now, Lord, as your presence is already with us, that God be magnified in the name of Jesus exalted in this place. And Lord, that every eye shall see you. Every person that's here will feel your presence right now and look upon your face. That's why we're gathered, Jesus, that every person here, no matter how old they are or how young, that they will look at you and say, Jesus, we know that you're the Son of God. and that you died on the cross for our sins. And we know that one day you're going to gather the nations together, and everyone who's not saved will be called goats, and everyone who is saved will be called sheeps. And by your own commands, you will say to the sheep, come and enter into everlasting life, the place which I have prepared for you. And you will say to those who are the goats, go into everlasting punishment. Why? Because they have rejected you. And today, Lord, I pray that every man, woman, and boy and girl in this place will receive you unto themselves. And not only, Jesus, cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? But Lord Jesus, that they will alter their lives forever to live for you. And that they will teach men and women and boys and girls to do so as well. And I'm asking you now, especially for the young people, Holy Spirit, anoint them right now. Anoint them where they're at. And use them, dear Lord, for your glory. Have your way now, Lord. Let your spirit speak to us as we move forth in the worship service to glorify your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for being here. Glory to God who sits upon the throne and who lives forever. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have no idea where I'm walking while I'm praying, so if I fall, it's because I don't care. Amen. And Psalms 2, go to Psalms 2 first, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 19. And in fact, we're, by the Spirit, we're going to be moving about in the Scriptures today as we look at this very powerful, powerful message from the Lord, our God. And I want to tell you this, God is not only the God of Israel, He's also God of China. He's God of these United States. He's the God of Egypt. And He's God of every nation on earth. Watch what happens as King David is moving under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Watch what takes place in the Spirit in heaven between God and His Son Jesus. And then we're going to do a quantum leap into the future and watch what God does to carry out that promise that He made to His Son. In Psalms 2, when you dare say amen.
Amen.
In Psalms 2, why do the nations rage? Otherwise, why are the nations having a fit? Why are they angry? And the people plot a vain thing. The nations are full of trouble. The nations are full of turmoil. And the nation is full of calamity. I mean, out to destroy one another. And especially the people of God. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Be careful now, everybody. Against the Lord. The Lord here is God Himself. People are plotting to come against God. I don't know how you can fight against God. Against God, against the Lord, against His anointed. The word anointed there should be Messiah. Or in English, Christ. So this is a prophecy saying that the nation are going to come against Jesus. God told us this before it happened. This is a very powerful clue into the future of what will happen to Jesus. Saying, let us break their bonds in pieces, just because you see a singular verb or a noun and a plural one does not mean the author is confused. Okay? He's still talking about Jesus. And those whom He will birth, they're called His disciples. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. In other words, the nations at this time is saying, we don't want nothing to do with you, God, nor your Christ. Let's just cut our relationship with God. Folks, this was 3,000 years ago this letter was written. This psalm was written. Has it changed today?
No.
Look in our country right now and see how fast people are turning away from God. They don't want anything to do with God. I say to you, 15 years ago, during September 11th, the churches couldn't have enough seats.
Amen.
Because when the planes start falling, start crashing in the buildings, into the Pentagon, and everywhere else, nobody knew how many planes were out there or where they were going. And America, for the first time, shook with fear. Because we thought we were invincible and that trouble like that couldn't come to us. Why? Because we had two big bodies of water which people had to cross to get to us. And we have the mountain to the north, the Arctic, and we have Mexico below, who we were counting on to protect our southern borders. Guess what? What happened in New York? What happened in Washington, D.C., at the Pentagon? What happened in Pennsylvania? Was evidence that we were not unreachable. And let me tell you something. If America's not careful, or any other nation that think itself being so bad, don't think that God can break your backbone. Because we're talking about the true and only living God. When you mess with God, you answer to God. Amen? And so, listen to verse 4 as David under the Spirit tells us something. How God feels about those who think they're better than he is. Listen what David says. He who sits in heavens, in the heavens, that's God, shall laugh. What? I mean, God's going to laugh at your foolishness. Think that you can conquer him? The Lord shall hold them in derision. What is derision? Derision is a fancy word for mockery. He'll laugh at you. He'll make fun of you. If you think you're that bad and don't think the Almighty can't deal with you, and you know, we got people right now think they can't be touched by God. Let's keep reading and see. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath. In other words, when God gets angry. And when God speaks, things happen. If you don't believe me, the same David would write in Psalms 33, verse 6, about how when the Almighty spoke, the entire host of heaven, in other words, the universe was created faster than the speed of light. So when God speaks, things happen. And when you speak the name of Jesus, things what? Happen. Why? Because there's power in the name of who?
Jesus.
All right. So God is going to speak. It say, and distress them in his deep displeasure. That means God is not happy with them. Folks, there used to be a billboard right before Santa Fe Ford. I told you this before. They used to say God is not angry with you. But it depends on who you are. If you're the enemy of God, guess what?
He's angry.
But if you're his sons and daughter been bought by the blood of Jesus, he's not angry with you. Let's just put it in proper perspective. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. This king is not King David. This king is Jesus. And God said, I have set him on my holy hill in Zion. Where is Zion? Israel. Israel is the capital of the world, whether you like it or not. And it is the universal place where God's Son will rule the nations. Once again, if you don't like it, take it up with him. Okay? He made the policy. I will declare the decree. And at this point in time, in verse 7, you're actually going to see a dialogue take place between the Father and the Son, that is, God and Jesus. David sees this dialogue in the Spirit, and he's writing it down. Follow me carefully in your Bibles. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, Jesus is now talking. He said, God has now said this to me. You are my son. Did you hear that? What is he talking about? Before Jesus came to earth, he was spirit. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus coming as a human. That's who he's talking about. The human Jesus is now God's son. In other words, he's coming to look just like Trinity. He's coming to look just like you, a human. Amen? Amen. Today I have begotten you. Notice the time frame in which this was written. This was written 3,000 years ago. 1,000 years before Jesus came. So him and the Father having this wonderful conversation. Ask of me, and here's the point in which the scripture's making to you today, and little ladies from China, welcome. Ask of me, and I will give you the what?
Nations.
The what?
Nations.
The nations. In other words, God is not talking to his son, say, all you got to do is ask for him, son, and I will give them to you. Now, who do you think know this Psalms also? Besides Jesus and God and King David and the Holy Ghost.
Satan.
Who?
The devil.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. Because when he came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness, one of the temptations was, it says that he took him up on this high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. Otherwise, he showed them, showed Jesus what? The nations. Are you following? Are you tracking, as y'all like to say? Are you understanding this? The devil showed Jesus all the nations of the world and said, all these I will give to you because they have been given to me. Luke records that part. When? When? When did Satan get the nations? When Adam bit the forbidden fruit. Do you know who used to be the Lord of the nations on earth? Adam did. God gave it to Adam. Start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and say, let us make man in our image. In our likeness. And it said, and God made man in his likeness and in his image and gave them what? Dominion. What is dominion? Lordship. Over all the earth. Over every created thing on earth. Even if angels came down here and visit them, guess whose lordship they fell under? While they're visiting, they fell under the lordship of who? Adam. Because when you go to another nation, guess whose lordship you fall under while you're in that nation? That nation, that national leader. Amen?
Amen?
And so everything, even Satan, when he came here, guess who had lordship to tell him no? Adam did. But God is sending a second Adam who now really going to have dominion over all the earth. His name is who?
Jesus.
So you see, there's a talk going on between God the Father and God the Son. And that God's going to give every nation under the sun to the Son. In other words, every nation under the S-U-N, he's going to take those nations and give to the S-O-N. All right, that makes sense? All right. Caitlin looked at me like... Okay. So he says, and the what? The nations for your inheritance. Can you take God's son inheritance away from him?
No.
No, you cannot. And the ends of the earth for your, follow me, for your what?
Possession.
Possession. What does that mean?
Your own.
In other words, you're going to have sovereign rule, sovereign lordship over the nations. The nation will report to you. You shall break them with a rod of iron. Men in the authority of Jesus Christ will rule the nations. In Revelation chapter 19, it tells us a double-edged sword proceeds from his mouth, and that he will rule the nations with the rod of iron. That means all Jesus has got to do is speak, and things happen. Amen?
That's right.
Now, I want to take you into the future now, to Acts chapter 19. Why is it important? Matter of fact, I want to give you a brief understanding of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, when Jesus says, go into all the world. Where was he telling his disciples to go? This is known as the Great Commission. He said, go into all the
world
and do what? Go into all the world and make what? Come on, somebody, and make disciples of who? Who are you going to make disciples of? The nations. Go and make disciples of the nations. Why? Because God the Father had already given the nations to the Son. Here's the connector. Jesus is not going back for a piece of land. He didn't say go and preach the gospel to a piece of land that's called the United States or Mexico. He said, go and preach the gospel to the people in those nations. The people are called the nations. And out of that, out of those nations are Jesus' inheritance. Let's say that this here was all the land of China or Germany. Let's say Germany. Okay? This is the population of Germany. And as the Holy Spirit leads you to preach the gospel to all that country. And so the Holy Ghost says, want that one. Okay? And what did he just do? He just went and plucked out of that nation sons and daughters who are now his inheritance. Okay? His possession. You belong to Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
That's why it's important for us to go and preach the gospel, because every person that's received Jesus becomes Jesus' inheritance. Okay? Now, over in Ephesians, it tells you and I that the inheritance have been given by God. God handpicked you. Jesus, in his closing prayer, on the night he was betrayed, said this prayer. He prayed for the 12 men, or the 11 men now, who now are with him, because Judas is dead. Judas Issachar hung himself. All right? So Jesus is praying, and he said, Father, I have did this with the men that you gave me out of the world. He said, I have kept them in your name. He said, you gave them to me. What's that? Inheritance. He said, I don't only pray for these 11 that you gave me out of the world, but I pray for those who will come to me through them. Who's that? Raise your hand and say, that's me.
That's right.
So that's me. Throughout the ages since the gospel began to be preached, to say, that's me. Amen?
Amen?
That's me. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's you. You are part of that inheritance.
That's right.
You're part of the nations. You're part of that possession. Okay? And so now, is this making any sense to you? Now the Apostle Paul is here. He's standing in a nation of people in a place called Ephesus. He's already gone around with the demon spirits. We already seen demon spirits at work with the sons of Sceva, did we not? And they tried to exorcise the demon out of the man. And they said, Jesus we know and Paul we know. That's what the demon said to those seven sons. But who are you? And the demon jumped on the seven men and beat them up and tore their clothes off, and they ran out the house naked.
That's right.
I tell you, you don't mess with demons if you don't know Jesus and have the power of the Holy Ghost to go with you. Amen?
Yeah.
And so here we are in Ephesians 19. The Apostle Paul is now preaching. He's been in Ephesus 2 years. the longest place that he has been since he began his missionary journey. One thing I want to point out to you, an important fact, of all the apostles back in Jerusalem, only one other one have gone to the nations. Do you know what that other, who that other apostle is at this time? This is Peter. Peter and Paul are the only two. And Peter is the only one from the original 12 that actually at this point has gone to the nations. The rest of them are back. But they, some of them will later join. They will go to the nations. So Paul is out there doing what God says that you and I are supposed to be doing. In Ephesians 19. There's only six chapters in Ephesians. Acts 19. Thank you. I'm thinking about Ephesus. Look at where Paul now, and it'll help if I get in the right book. I'm looking at John 19. My mouth is running faster than my brains. At the end of verse 20, we see where the gospel is being preached, and literally, folks, hundreds of people being saved in Ephesus, this metropolis that sits on the riverbank. Beautiful city, but a city that's full of false worship. They're worshiping false gods. And now, the biggest battle in the spirit world for the church is beginning to happen. Look at this. In verse 20 says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Verse 21, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, Achaia's Corinth, okay, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a time. Now, when God's work is not finished, you got to plant your feet. Don't run. Be prepared for a greater work by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because the sole purpose of any of us sharing the gospel is for God, by his son Jesus, to gain new sons and new daughters. But you got to understand what holds people before they come to Jesus. What is holding their lives together? Who's holding on to them? What is it that their lives are anchored into? What are they doing with their lives? Do they know the one true God is the big question. Do they know the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Do they know the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer to those questions is no. Because these nations are so engulfed in idol worship. They're worshiping rocks. They're worshiping pieces of wood that they have fashioned to a figure and they call it a god. They're worshiping gold that they have made look like a man or animal. And they're falling down and saying, this is my God. You have done this for me. When in fact, they dug it out of the ground and put it to the fire and melted it and shaped it into an image. And then they called it their God. That's what the world was doing. They make clay into a little man. And it's, oh, you're my God. In fact, they angered the one true God. But God, being full of grace and mercy, sent his son Jesus here to die for these nations who have sinned against him. And the one and true and only living God who cares for us, who loves us with an everlasting love, not only sent his son to die on a cross for us, but he decided that he will continue that work that he had his son here to do. There's only one person can save you, and that's Jesus. But the gospel must be preached to the nations so that you can believe in this one Jesus. Amen. And so he chose 12 men, one betrayed him, sent out 11, the 11 trained others. And the others went out and did the work and they trained others until we're up till today. And we're still out sharing this gospel because we want men and women and boys and girls to see Jesus. Okay? But let me tell you, while you're doing the Lord's work, it doesn't mean the devil is going to sit idle and let you get away with it.
That's right.
Okay? It doesn't mean everything's going to go all right all of a sudden. No, like some preachers say, come to Jesus and he'll make everything all right. Yeah, he will make everything all right for your salvation. But you may be living a life full of hell. What does that mean? That means there's going to be trouble on every hand. And if you don't believe me, ask the man who's preaching the gospel in this town called Ephesus. His name is Paul. Call up and say, Jesus, can I speak to Paul? Paul, did you have it made when you went to Ephesus or Iconium or Derbe or Lystra? Did you have it made when you went to Corinth or Athens? And he will tell you, no. Because in here is a testimony saying that that man was beaten and left unconscious, left for dead. He was stoned, left for dead. He was dumped in the sea overnight, hanging to a piece of wood for his life. But hours early during that day, an angel of the Lord came to him and said, listen, Paul, unless y'all stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. He said, but you hold on. Not a one of you going to be lost, even though the ship will be battered and it will be lost. But you will survive it. And guess what? It happened. The ship ran aground and broke up. And guess what? Those men had to swim all night long. Amen. But their lives were saved. It happened just as the angel had told Paul. So you hang up and say, okay, Paul. He said, now, but one thing I guarantee you, if you had that ability to talk to Paul, he will tell you, boys and girls, he'll tell you, hold on to Jesus. He said, no matter what's going on in your life, hold on to Jesus. That's what he'll do. Amen?
Amen.
And I tell you, life does get tough. It stinks sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay? But God knows what's going on. Why? Because he owns the nations. Look at it. Verse 23. And about that time arose a great commotion about the way. Notice here, just in case Maurice Nelson didn't know it because he never reads his Bible. Okay? And I love you too, Maurice. Listen. The word way here, you notice it's in capital letters in your Bible. Did you notice that?
Yes.
That's what we used to be called. We weren't called Christians yet. We were called
the way.
Because Jesus had told them on the night in which he was betrayed, and you're reading in John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, yeah. Nobody come to the Father except through me. In other words, you can't get to God on your own. It's impossible, Crystal. You have to come to Jesus. Okay? In fact, if you read in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells you and I that Jesus inaugurated a new way and the only way to God. That is by his body. You can't get to God no other way except through his son Jesus. He's the doorway, Trinity. And you must open the door of Jesus' heart to get to God. And the only way Jesus will allow you to open his heart is that you come to him and be his daughter forever. Amen?
Amen.
And so now trouble has come. Trouble, you got it, is now here. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana. Remember that name, Diana. For you boys, she's not cute. Okay? Diana is a false god that men made up. from the vain imagination of their minds. Okay? And they erected this thing upon a pole. And let me tell you a little bit about it. Diana is supposed to be the god of nature. In other words, she was responsible for all living life on earth. Okay? And so she had, if you looked at this thing, pardon the expressions, everybody, but I have to tell you, it had multiple breasts on it. Okay? So that it nourished, supposedly nourished all living things, whether animals or humans. Okay? You go to show you how bad these men's minds were, right? But they were worshiping this thing. And so they had silversmith who was making little mini statues of it. And they out of silver. And they were making a living off of it. They were making a killing. That was their trade. And if you didn't have a statue of Diana, they knew that you weren't one of theirs. They knew you was a stranger in town. And one of the things that they try to do is to sell you one of them. When you got off that ship and came into Ephesus, they tried to sell you one of those idols. Okay? Why? Because they know it's a spirit attached to it. A spirit that keeps you from the one true God. But what happened when the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, Arve and Zora? What happens when the gospel is being preached? Huh? What happened, Emma, when the gospel is being preached?
The Holy Ghost comes to town.
The Holy Ghost comes to town.
That's right.
Amen. Amen, brother. The Holy Spirit shows up. And where the Holy Ghost shows up, guess what? No demons can stay there. And when the Spirit says, come here, daughter, guess what happens? When the Spirit of the living God points you and says, you now belong to Jesus. And you confess your life to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You come out of that demon worship. That means you now been loosed from the powers of darkness that's been holding you all of your life. And you didn't even know it. Here's the thing about it. Most people who worship those things don't even know demons are holding them. That they're in bondage. You're being held captive. And that's why if you read in Psalm 68, it talks about Jesus, how when he ascended on high, and which Paul covered in his letter to the Ephesians, he said he ascended on high and led captivity captive. Well, what does that mean? That meant when Jesus went back to heaven, do you know what he did? You have to understand Old Testament language. When Jesus went back to heaven, he dragged the demon spirits through the halls of heaven, dragging them as the victor as he is, a war. It showed that Jesus just defeated the entire army of Satan all by himself. He dragged the captives. What do you mean he had captivity? Satan and all his demons, Jesus captured them and took control of them. And by doing that, God released their power on your life. Every time you hear the gospel and you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, Jesus released the power of Satan off your life. Okay, everybody, there's a lot of movement here, but are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
And you hear me? This is important. When you find yourself in difficult situations, when times are tough, everybody, when people, you go and you have to give punishment for something you didn't do, and you say, Lord, why is this happening to me? Stop and understand that the people of darkness, demons, don't like you. They're not people. I misquoted that. They do not like Maurice Nelson. They don't like Trinity Todd. Caitlin Scrope. They don't like you. And let me tell you, that's right, they don't like Emma either. And let me tell you, they will do everything they can to pull you down. And so the Apostle Paul is in Ephesus. The gospel is going strong. People are getting saved. People are being delivered from these demons. And guess what? Satan pushes up his little clans. That's what happens here, Deacon Clinton. There's getting ready to be a major battle take place in the spirit world. That's what's getting ready to happen. So Demetrius the silversmith has now went and rallied his buddies. He got with the other silversmiths in town. Said, look, something got to be done by this man. Why? Watch what kind of recognition he give preaching the gospel. Listen to this. So Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. Otherwise, they were making a lot of money. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, you hear that? Throughout almost all Asia, these men have done what? This Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Did y'all catch that? This man has now called his colleagues together. He said, we're in trouble. We're going to be broke. We're going to lose our livelihood because this man named Paul. He's telling people not only here in Ephesus, but in all of Asia. Okay? He's telling them that these shrines are not gods. Was Paul telling the truth? Mm-hmm. You bet you. So they was angry. Anytime you go against the kingdom of darkness with the name of Jesus, they're going to come after you. And when they come after you, you're going to have to plant your feet. You're going to have to plant your feet. Watch what happens. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They go into idol worship. They begin to have a worship service against, you know, to this false god. Let me tell you, Anan, the rest of you all, what's been happening in our country the past year and a half? War. All kinds of hell has broke out, right?
Amen.
Division after division after division. And if you think about it, when did all this division really start hitting us lately? After the Supreme Court of the United States made a statement and saying that it's now legal for what? Gays to get married. And what has happened since then? We have what? We have plummeted. Things have really happened horribly in our country. And now Satan knows how to cause commotion. He's now turning the police against the people and the people against the police. That's what he wanted to appear to be. But police are not against the people. You're always going to have a few knuckleheads in every organization, no matter what. And the people are not always against the police. Okay? You got some good Americans in this country. Amen?
Amen.
Not everybody's against the police. However, who are the mouthpieces that controlling the information that get out there? The news. And who's the news controlled by? Satan himself.
Amen.
Come on. If you don't believe me, Ephesians chapter 2 says he's the prince of the airwaves. What travels the airways? What?
News.
Say it again.
Sound.
Sound, news, communication.
What they say.
So Satan controls what's going out there. And if he can get funkies to manipulate people's emotions, he can get people fighting against each other.
That's right.
And that's what you see happening. And you know what? The church sat back and we're going, oh my God, look at this, look at that, instead of saying, oh, we know what's behind this. Father, in the name of Jesus, bind those spirits now. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord, you're not turning us devil against one another.
That's right.
And when you read in the book of Ephesians, matter of fact, I read most of it this morning, just going through. The main theme in that book is unity. The main theme in the book of Ephesians is unity. That means this, not only is she your wife, she's your friend. Mm-hmm. Not only is she your friend, she's your neighbor. Amen. And not only this black girl behind you is a black girl sitting behind you, but she's also your friend and she's your neighbor.
Sure.
And not only this black girl is sitting in front of a black woman, but that black woman behind you is also not only your mama who'll knock you out, but she's also your neighbor
and your friend.
And your fellow American. And this black woman is sitting in front of this white girl, and not only is she your friend and your neighbor, but you're both fellow Americans. And more so, you belong to Jesus, both of you. So why are you fighting against each other? Just because one wears a uniform and the other one doesn't, don't mean you're not different. You are different, but yet you're one in the spirit. You belong to Jesus.
Amen.
So while we're out there fighting against each other, because there's a spirit called the spirit of Satan, don't want you and I to get along. What happens when a nation turns its back on God? It is doomed to fall. Amen? That's why the same David that you read in Psalms 2, writing about Lord Jesus owning the nations, everybody, you know what he said? Blessed is the nation who the Lord is their God.
Amen.
Blessed is the nation who the Lord is their God. When you turn your back on God, God turns his back on you. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is not pleased with this foolishness going on in our country.
Amen.
And it's like cancer, everybody. And it's not only happening here in these United States. Listen to me carefully. It's happening in Germany. It's happening in France. It's happening in Italy. It's happening in England. And it's happening in other places around the world right now. Satan is turning the nations against each other by turning them inward. And they're trying to destroy from within. Okay? So now what the people of God needs to be doing is uniting in the name of Jesus. Stop putting color out front. Jesus did not come to save a black person. He didn't come to save a white person or a yellow person, a brown person. He came to save people. He came to save the nations. Okay? He doesn't care what country you're from. All right? Now, so now it's trouble. And see, one young man back there, you got Hispanic blood in you, don't you? Another nation. So we just look from the surface and not try to see how the bloods are mixed. I see, let's see, one, two, I just spit on you, three, I see four, I see at least, Crystal, about 10 nations in here.
That's right.
Okay? Sitting right here. If we go back to our country of origin, there are at least 10 nations sitting in here. Amen? But we're all here for one reason. Jesus. To praise the one and only who?
God.
You got that, Miss Trinity? As we get ready to finish up here, Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of Ephesus, verse 29. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. If Paul would have went in amongst this tumult, they would have killed him. Okay, all right, some of y'all are looking like, what in the world is he talking about? Right? Okay, let me make it plain for you. Football stadium. All the people rushed to the football stadium. And they're mad. And matter of fact, in a moment, you'll read where some of them didn't even know why they were there.
It sounds like the Democratic National Convention.
Okay, I can't go there. Now, they're all in the football stadium. They're mad, and they are fiery mad. And they don't know, you know, kind of like some of the marches going on today. Other people jump in on the march and don't even know why these people are marching.
That's right.
But why are you here? Yeah, they shot the police. Oh, brother, you know, the police shot Tom. Huh? Oh, you know why you're here? No, man. I'm just here to support the brothers. Dude, last week you were talking about climate change. Now you're here to support the brothers. You don't know which side of the fence you're going to be on. Okay? So they're in the stadium, and they are angry. They're angry because their gods have been assaulted, have been offended. Well, they've been told that their gods are not gods. They're just a piece of silver. And they can't do anything for anybody. And I tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, look up here at me. What I'm about to say to you, get offended if you want. Be careful how you wear the cross. Either you're wearing it as an emblem to remind you what God's Son did, or you're wearing it as a piece of jewelry. And if you're wearing it as a piece of jewelry, it's an idol. You might as well take it off and throw it in the trash. Are you hearing me? But if it's remind you of the work that God's Son did to redeem us with his own blood to save us, then you go ahead and you wear it. But you better make sure that cross, you're not hiding behind a piece of wood or a piece of metal hanging around your neck. You better be hiding behind the real one, Jesus. Okay? So they're in the stadium. Look at verse 22. Matter of fact, come back up to verse 31. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. You know, God will put people in high places that will be in your favor if you're doing what's right. Amen?
Amen.
Just like when Paul was back in Corinth. Jesus said, Paul, don't be afraid. For I got many people in this city. Okay? God got some folks on your side. Notice these are government officials who became Paul's friend. And they said, Paul, don't go in that stadium. You stay outside. All right? Now, in verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. Is there any confusion about the things of God, everybody? No. Does Jesus cause confusion in life?
No.
No. And most of them did not know why they had come together. Sound like certain organizations that we knew of today, right? And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and Jews putting him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out about 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And they chanted this for 2 hours. I'm going to ask you a question. When the enemy gets like that, what do you do? What do you do? As men and women of God, you got thousands upon thousands in this stadium shouting to a false god. I want to ask you this. It happens every week in our country. And they're called football games, rock concerts, basketball games. They're shouting to their false gods, their favorite teams. It doesn't have to be a piece of silver, but it can be a team. And it can be rock stars. Yeah, Miss Brenda, look. Because they're not shouting for God. They're out there getting their pleasure in who? In the things of this world. They're not. They didn't come together to worship God in those theaters and those arenas and those football stadiums. They're not there, Caitlin, to worship Jesus. They're there to see which one of their idols is going to win the game. The game of tug of war called football, rugby, soccer, golf, tennis, you name it. They're there to cheer on their idol. And some of you are so-called Christians, join right in with them, and you even dress your kids in some of their numbers. I think just about all of us are guilty of that one. You say, well, I don't have a shrine of Diana. Yeah, you got all this other stuff. And if you walk into some of y'all bedrooms, the whole walls are plastered with these idols. And you can't even find one Bible in your bedroom. And if it is, you got to throw the clothes off the top of it. Hello. I'm preaching, shut up. You're meddling. You betcha I'm meddling. Because you know I'm telling the truth.
You can still enjoy those things.
Uh-huh. Enjoy all you want to. Because the last time Nehemiah said, he said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So where do your joy come from? The things of men or the things of God? I'm just saying. You pick and choose who you're going to serve. Pick and choose who you're going to worship. I didn't say you couldn't go to a football game. I'm saying that you don't allow those things become your God. That's what I'm saying. Because I'll be doggone, I'm going to be sitting in a stadium watching a car go round and round in a circle when I'm supposed to have my butt in church. Okay? And most of them come back from those watching NASCAR with crooks in their necks. And you got to slap them that way because they've been there for the past 4 or 5 hours. You know what kind of crook we want in your neck when you come to church? Look at me. I'm going to have a joke today. No, to the glory of God. What's that?
Looking up, Lord.
All right, look it up. So if I'm going to get a crook, it ain't going to be to the left or to the right, Brother David. It's going to be where? Up. Amen? As we finish out. Okay. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardians of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Did you hear that? The image that fell down from Zeus. Look, Greek mythology in there, huh? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. Christians can learn from that statement, right? Hear what we can learn from this statement. Since this man is saying that, hey, you know who your false god is. You know what these men are doing, can't change that. So why don't you just shut your mouth and go home? Let's turn that into a living reality. People, no matter what happens in Washington, no matter what happened in our streets, they can't change Jesus.
Amen.
They can't stop the work of Jesus. Amen? Because I'm telling you, no idol have ever opened the eyes of a blind person. And no idol have ever raised the dead. And no outer has never cast a demon out of a person, but Jesus has. And he continued to do it today. And no outer has a book called the Book of Life that your name is written in. And it really happens. And certainly no idols will send an angel to protect you. Jesus will. And no idol has the spirit of the true God living in it. But Jesus is. Notice I said that. Jesus is. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
So we can learn something from that statement. In verse 37, he says, "For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of the temple nor blasphemers of your goddess." To see how God used their own work against them? You're trying to blame these men, saying that they, what have they done? What harm has they done? This is what he said. That's because he's spiritually blind to see, Clinton, that by preaching the gospel, Paul them caused people to get saved and come out of darkness, okay? To come out of worshiping false gods into the kingdom of our God. That's what happened, but they can't see that because this man is spiritually blind. Okay? So, therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Proconsuls is a fancy name for judges. Let them bring charges against one another, but if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he has said these things, he dismissed the assembly. People, the Ephesians were under the sovereign authority of the Romans. And if they came together in an unlawful assembly, the Roman soldiers would have got them for that. Because they could have gotten in trouble. Even though in their own eyes they were doing what was right by the Romans, Rome didn't give them authority to together like that. And so the city clerk said, y'all better watch it. You're going to get us all in trouble here. And who do you think the proconsuls belong to? They belong to Rome. Okay? The judges belong to Rome. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your occupation. God loves you. And God sent his son Jesus to die for you. And Jesus sent his servants to the nations so that you can hear about him, so that you can believe in God his Father and himself, and that you could make the informed decision to follow him all the days of your life. And the word follow means, and here's another thing, we got just a couple minutes left. The word follow doesn't mean you just say a prayer and your name is written in the book of life. The word follow means that your heart has to be changed. That you have to have the spirit of the living God living in you. That Jesus Christ must live in here. And that your life must change to show that you belong to Jesus. Your life must be different than the rest of the people on earth. That's why he pulled you out of the nations. That's why you are his inheritance. That's why you are his possession. You are different. And the Bible called that holy. You live a holy life. What does holy mean? That means you are living different than everybody else. Amen. You cannot call on the name of Jesus and continue to live the same old way. You must be different. And I'm going to put it out here. If you're homosexual, stop it. If you're a lesbian, stop it. If you're transgender, stop it. Go back being the sex that God says you are. And if you are a whoremonger, that means sleeping with prostitutes, stop it. If you're a drug dealer, stop it. If you're a drug addict, stop it. If you're an alcoholic, stop it. If you're a thief, stop stealing. And if you're a murderer, stop killing.
What about lying?
That's one too, sister. Sin is sin. If, I'm going to put it like this. If you are sinning, stop it.
If you are a robber, stop it.
Yes, the woman that was caught in adultery, when she was being accused of Lord Jesus, after Jesus jumped on her accusers and said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And because they all knew they have sinned, they dropped their rocks and ran away. And the woman stood there alone, just her and Lord Jesus. Guess what happened? He said, woman, where are those who accuse you now? And she looked around and said, no one, my Lord. He said, neither do I. But what followed next after that phrase? He said, I don't accuse you either. What did he tell her? Go and what, Crystal? Go and sin no more. Other words, change. Go and repent. Stop this foolishness. Stop it. Stop it. Whatever sin you're doing wrong before God, stop it right now. Sin is still sin in the Bible. It has not changed. And the Bible says that God commands men everywhere to repent. That means stop it right now. And a lot of you young people, y'all are cool and sneaky. Like your parents don't know what you're doing. But most important, like your God don't know what you're doing. Like Jesus don't see everything. Okay? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. Okay? That means, little ladies, God sees everything. And King David said in Psalms 139, the darkness is like the day to him. He sees everything the same. All right? And if you are hiding behind stuff, and here's the part God gets me. He said, what you say in front of my people, you better also be living behind closed doors. So don't play with God. Don't play with God. If the Holy Spirit killed two people, what make you think he won't kill you? For lying to God. Miss Vicky? So the Ephesians, if you're sitting in church and you're talking about other things, guess who's recording it? I told y'all there are live recorders in heaven. I told y'all that. You come in here talking everything else instead of listening to the word of God, there are live recorders in heaven. Angels are recording your thoughts. Angels are recording our conversations. And angels are recording our behavior, how we live every day. You don't get away with anything. And just in case you didn't know, if you think Satan is watching you, God got twice as many angels than there are demons. Just in case you didn't know. And the Holy Spirit is the only spirit besides God and Lord Jesus that can be everywhere at the same time. So he sees everything, little lady. And he knows your every thoughts. Every time you get angry at your husband and call him names without opening your mouth, you know you just call your husband a big old. Okay? And every time you say in your heart about your mama, she make me sick. Guess what? Holy Spirit just heard them thoughts. Okay, every head bow. Is this making any sense to y'all as we get ready to go home? That church in Ephesians, in Ephesus, they went through some stuff. Mr. David, how would you like to be the one preaching the gospel in Ephesus? Hey, guess what? If God equipped Paul to go there, he would equip you if he called you to go there. Same protection. So we can't be afraid if Lord Jesus called us. He's with us. Every head bow. I don't know where you stand right now with Jesus. But here's what the Word of God tells you you have to do. One day the God of the universe is going to open up the heavens and you're going to see him. And there his son is going to appear. And folks, he will gather the nations. He's going to. If you're alive, you stand and you see it from the earth. If you're dead, you'll see it from hell. And this is the important part that you need to know. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, and I mean not just by prayer, but I mean truly have a relationship with him, you will know it before you get to hell that you're going there. You don't want to take that chance. But today, you get the opportunity to do something wonderful, something amazing, something that will last forever. You get the chance to give your life to Jesus. You get the chance to say, Jesus, I know that you're the Son of the one true God. And I know that God, your Father, sent you here. And that we all have sinned and come short of his glory. That means we broke his commandments. We didn't bring pleasure to God's heart. And so God has stored up a day of punishment for us. But you, Lord Jesus, took our punishment by hanging on a tree called the cross. And so I believe in you, Jesus. And you died. You took God's punishment in my place. If you believe that, you tell Jesus that I want you. And the moment that you believe that powerful message about God's Son, and knowing that someday you will stand before God, just as you look at your earthly father, you will look at God. You will look at Jesus. You will see him just as he is. And you're going to see him in one or two ways. You're going to see him as a loving father to you, or you're going to see him as a God who has judged you and thrown you into everlasting punishment. So Jesus is offering you this opportunity because he's the only way to the one true God. The nations, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and be saved and believe in him. Every head bowed, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for these. Lord, I pray now that by your Spirit, that they will say, Jesus, here I am, I want you. If there's anyone out there now wants Jesus in their life, if so, if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus with your life, now's your time. This is your moment to say to Jesus, Jesus, I want you. I want to live for you all of my life. If that's you, Raise your hand. We'll pray with you. And the Spirit of God will enter you as Jesus writes your name down in this book of life. Because God has touched you. And others, if you say to Jesus, Lord, I just want to live for you and serve you. Then serve him. Serve him. Father, we thank you. You heard our prayers. Thank you that your Spirit is here with us. It was a long teaching today, Lord. But we thank you and that you're going to bring others' teachings to us. Now, Lord, our God, be with us until we meet again as your Spirit lead and guide us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Dick, come on and close us out in prayer so we can go home.
Come on, Dick.
We want to thank you for the chance to come and praise you. We ask that you stay with us and keep your hand on us while we're out of here throughout the week until we can come back again. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.